Turn your attention to Scripture, Genesis chapter 19, beginning to read there at verse number 17. I have a little reminder for us today. Amen. My Bible study is a reminder. Amen. I hope to remind you about this. Hopefully you'll remember it. Genesis chapter 19, beginning to read there at verse 17. I'm going to read down to verse 26, so several verses. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, "Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed." It was a dire warning. It was, "Better look out. Here it comes." And Lot said unto them, "Oh, not so, my Lord." Arguing with God is probably not a good idea. Often does not turn out well. "Oh, not so, my Lord. Behold now, thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and hath magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me, and I die." Verse 20, "Behold now, this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one." Someone say little one. It's just a little one. "Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live." And he said unto him, "See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also." Be careful what you ask for, because God might let you do it. You're going to see in a little while what I'm talking about. "I have accepted thee concerning this thing also. I will not overthrow this city for which thou has spoken." God hears our prayers. God knows what we ask Him for. Sometimes He lets us do it. Verse 22, "Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither." Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun was risen up upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities in all the plain, and all the inhabitants of the cities, and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. My topic today, it's just a little thing. Would you pray with me? Lord, I love you. I thank you. Jesus, we are asking today, Lord, that we would learn, Lord, even a lesson from your word. Lord, I pray that you would quicken my mind, my words, and open our hearing. Lord, let our hearts receive what your word has for us tonight. Lord, this is a simple Bible study, but Lord, I pray your anointing upon it, upon us, Lord, to receive it. Your word, Lord, is already anointed. It's we, Lord, that need to understand your word, understand your principles, and, Lord, your purpose for our lives. We ask now your favor in it. Together in the precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. When cities or areas or nations or homes want to make things look better, oftentimes, in fact, most of the time, they start with little things. Little things matter. You know, sometimes we have work days around the church quite frequently. First Saturday of the month is our normal time. And sometimes it feels like you don't get a whole lot done. But if we never had a work day and stuff never did get done, guess what? Not only would it not look better, it would continuously look worse. It would deteriorate till the whole place fell down. It would just fall to pieces. Our life is like that. We got to take care of the little things in our life. In fact, the little things are very important. When a city wants to make its image better, you know, New London, this church is in New London County. Our facility, we used to have a storefront in New London. And during that period, you know, they'd try to make things look better and put paint on some buildings and, you know, spruce things up a little bit. There was an aggressive effort to clean up the city. Now, putting a painted coat on a few buildings or, you know, moving the trash off the sidewalk, it's not a great big thing. It's a little thing, but it really does matter. It really does. The little things really do matter. In fact, driving through any major city, you will see a striking contrast. Some buildings look new and well-maintained, manicured, you know, fixed up just so. And it gives a impression that is positive. And then you have other places. I rode through recently. I went to Virginia for a business, for the shipyard trip. And I was riding through my old neighborhood in Chesapeake, Virginia, Portsmouth, Virginia, in that area. I was heading on my way to church. And I rode through my old neighborhood. And, man, it just... little things all over the place, closed up storefronts and buildings that had been torn down and, you know, things. It was not a pleasant sight. You know, it was dramatically deteriorated from the time that I was there. Now, that was years ago, 30 years ago now, but... It was a striking contrast. Just an accumulation of little things that really mattered. Some buildings are well maintained, they're manicured, looks good. Other buildings aren't so maintained. The paint looks bad. The wood is crooked on the, you know, over the roof line, and there's stuff falling down, and you know, it just gives a bad impression when it's not maintained. Or graffiti, you know, they have gangs some places, and they got logos, and they put their logo on things, they write graffiti on the wall, and they break windows, they throw trash around. Just gives a very negative impression. But the little things in our life, little things around our church. I'm thankful that somebody takes trash out. Or that somebody cleaned the toilet. I mean, don't forgive me for such a thing, but if it was nasty and dirty, everybody would notice. And if you haven't noticed it, it's probably because somebody noticed it before you got there. Amen. Thank the Lord. You know, some people would put reasoning in their mind. Oh, it's just a bad location. Oh, it's because the age of the building. Oh, it's because of the finances of the owner. You know, there could be lots of reasons. There could be lots of circumstances for the little things accumulating. But it is the accumulation of a lot of little things that tear it down. It's a interesting, or rather, there is a fascinating trigger mechanism at work here. It can quickly turn a lovely building into a dilapidated, ugly mess. Researchers who study crime and urban decay say this is the trigger: a broken window. A broken window is a trigger point. One unrepaired, single broken window can start the downward spiral of decay. Leads people to think that no one cares about that. No one cares about that place. It doesn't matter if I break another window. It does matter. You see, this theory, which was coined by sociologists, it was taken hold of years ago, back when Rudy Giuliani was the mayor of New York City, way back years ago. And the crime rate in New York City at that time was out of control. It was skyrocketing. And they cracked down on the little things. They cracked down, or started systematically enforcing, some little laws. You know, the squeegee guys that stay at the stop sign and run over and, well, in this case, they didn't ask you first. They come over and wipe your window a couple times and they owe me $20. You know, they're trying to make you feel like you owe them money. The squeegee guys. What was another example? Turnstile jumpers. Anybody been through New York City, rode the subway? Went through, you know, there's a turnstile. You go down the stairs, you go through the turnstile, you know, you put your coin in, or you pay your fee to get into, and once you're down there, you can ride any train you want. But if you jump over the turnstile, because, you know, the thing locks until you put your coin in, but if you jump over it, you don't have to put your coin in. So they started enforcing or catching the people looking for turnstile jumpers. You know, it's not real expensive. You know, that coin you put in, it's pretty cheap. But they started enforcing against squeegee guys and turnstile jumpers. And guess what? The murder rate in New York City went down. It went down from 2,000 a year murders to 600. It went down dramatically over enforcing laws in little things. It turns out that a huge percentage of the squeegee guys were felons, and that the turnstile jumpers were drug dealers. And when they started cracking down on them, big crime went down. According to this theory, cracking down on little petty things often keeps them from becoming big things. Drug dealers and murderers, that's big stuff. But their little enforcement efforts help to curb the big problems in their community. I tell you, the same principle applies to our Christian walk with God. It applies to us as individuals. Things that the world wouldn't think anything about what they would think petty little things. But I'm telling you, God cares about little things in our life. He cares about if we pray, if we look into His Word, if we attend church, if we hear, not just audibly, but if we hear in our spirit the preaching of the Word of God, that it would touch us, that it would change us. New York City refused to let one trash truck leave the station with graffiti. You know, the gang members would go and spray their logo for their gang on the side of that truck, and that truck is our neighborhood. We own that truck. Well, if they painted something on a truck, guess what? That truck didn't go out on the street no more, because it went to the paint shop and it waited in line until that graffiti was painted over and removed from that truck. No truck could leave this onto the street with graffiti on it. You know, it does matter how you look, how you walk, how you talk. You think, oh, those are little things. No, to God, they're big things. Accumulatively, they really do matter. They do. Through the combined efforts in New York City, 20 different departments, they cleaned up everything they could. From the garbage trucks to the sidewalks and the curbs and the... They cleaned up everything they could. And it helped to reduce crime in their city. Amen. Even the airlines work on this principle as well. Every plane must be cleaned. And it's not just the cleaners that do the cleaning. It's the mechanics, the aircraft mechanics that were learned and skilled in a trade, skilled professional people cleaning the airplanes. Because it was that skilled professional that would notice a corroded wire or notice a loose bolt or a rivet that they would notice things that other people wouldn't notice. And it increased the efficiency of their airplanes. The principle is very, very simple. If you ignore little things, they don't stay little. If you ignore the little things in your life, in your walk with God, in your family, in your marriage, in your children, on your job. My job in the shipyard, my daytime job, I take very, very seriously, and I notice little things that are very important. Where I work, they build nuclear-powered submarines, and in my opinion, everything is important. There's nothing that doesn't matter. We ought to think just as highly about our walk with God, about our relationship with our fellow man, with the relationship with your family, with your brother or sister in Christ. It does matter, and little things are important. The rules in New York City and their effort to clean up the little things and all of that help to deter and reduce crime was quick replacement of broken windows, prompt removal of abandoned vehicles, fast cleanup of illegally dumped items, quick paint out of graffiti, fresh paint and repair of buildings, clean the sidewalks and the gutters. Find a building for teens to hang out in instead of on the street corners. See, the broken window principle is simple. It's simple not to ignore. It's simply to not ignore the small things. Solomon, he would have agreed. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse number 15. Take us, the foxes, the little foxes. You know, a fox is not like a lion, right? Most of the time people aren't so afraid of a little fox. The little foxes that spoil the vines. For our vines have tender grapes. In this portion of Scripture, maybe it would be news to some, but Syrian foxes are indigenous to Palestine. They burrow deep and eat vineyards. A very small animal is very destructive. They can destroy years worth of effort in a very short time. Pay attention to that little fox in the vineyard. That little thing that's causing trouble is going to cost you a lot more if you ignore it. In fact, I've seen over, you know, I've been pastoring now for, 19 years, I guess it is. Coming up on 20 years. And I've been around church a lot longer than that. And I've seen people, when they are meticulous about their walk with God, about how they carry themselves and how they are faithful to God and how it's important to them, the things that are pertaining to God, and how that when things of God are high on the priority list and they're important in their lives, and when they are successful in living for God, the little things are tended to. Make sure I get to church. Make sure I am faithful. Make sure that I greet my brother or sister in Christ. Make sure that, you know, you don't have to wear a suit, certainly not, but that you care about what you look like. Might seem like a little thing. But I've noticed those that care about little things will go far in the kingdom of God. And I've also noticed there has been, in many cases, and I'm not naming names, of course, but people that used to care, and then they care less. Right, you start not caring about the little things, and pretty soon you're not going to care at all. Oh, it don't matter if I miss service. Oh, it's just a Wednesday night. And I'm saying that to the handful of people here on Wednesday night. But it does matter. The little things in your walk with God really do matter. When little things start slipping by that they didn't used to slip by, that matters. People get tired of dealing with what seems like petty, broken windows. But now, because they didn't take care of the little things, they're dealing with what's much, much bigger things. If you put God first, you love your family, and your family sees you loving God, and they love God, and they get closer to God, and you get closer to God, it strengthens your family. And then, when that leader of the home or an important parent figure takes their eyes off of God and start letting little things go, it's going to affect the whole family. Little things turn into big things. It can destroy the whole vineyard. The little foxes. The little things that don't belong there. And get this, most of the time, it's the complainers that backslide. I'm not trying to beat you up. I'm trying to help you see, open your eyes to see with spiritual eyes. We as a body of Christ, as the church, we need to stay focused on the basics. I'm not against new technologies. I think it has great potential to help the work of God. But it's not the technologies that are going to save people. Jesus. Preaching, believing in Jesus is going to save people. Amen. Living a separated life unto the Lord your, not because I told you to. In fact, it's my job to tell you what the Word says. It's the Word that tells you how to live. Amen. It's the Word that tells us how to be saved. We need to tighten up on the small things. We need to pay attention to little things in our life. And this is exactly what needs to happen in our spiritual lives. Pay attention to the little things. Can you imagine what it would have been like to have an angel appear at your house and announce, "Danger is coming. God is going to destroy the city. Get your family out of here right now. Flee to the mountains." That's exactly what happened. A messenger from God came to tell Lot and his family to get out. This place is going to be destroyed. Leave, flee for your life. He was told to vacate the premises. Yet, the man they came to save, Lot, dragged his feet, responded slowly. He argued with God. "Not so, Lord." That's a really bad idea. If you've got a message from God, listen to the message. God wants to speak to you. Let God give you direction, and He will see you through. He was told, "Flee to the mountains." Maybe you don't realize, but it was more than just Sodom and Gomorrah. The cities of the plain were going to be destroyed. And there were 5 cities in all in that plain. And the whole place was going to be destroyed. Now, God only ended up destroying 4 of those cities because of the prayer of Lot. God heard his prayer. Genesis chapter 19, verse number 20. "Behold now, this city is near to flee into. It is a little one." Like that even really mattered. Little cities can be wicked just like big cities. "Let me escape thither." Is it not a little one? "And my soul shall live." His argument is, just because it's little, it's okay. That's not necessarily so. There are little things in your life that could take you to hell, destroy your life, wreck your family. There's little things in your life that are very important. Verse 21, "And he said unto him, See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken." Verse number 21. God agreed not to destroy that city, Zoar, and he allowed Lot and his daughters to go there. The point, understand that just because God accepts something does not mean he is totally pleased with it. God may let you do things that are not good for you. But God loves us. God wants us to be drawn unto Him. He's trying to show us the way to live right before Him. He's trying to, by His love, save us. He cares for us so much. Lot had a consistent problem with understanding how important little things would be. Get this now. Notice, I'm just pointing out a few things that should be obvious. He pitched his tent toward Sodom. At first, he didn't even go in. He pitched his tent in that direction. And then he ended up in Sodom, living in a very wicked place. Now, I don't believe he ever intended to live a wicked life. I don't think he ever intended to totally lose out with God. I don't think he intended to have his family be destroyed. I don't believe that those things were his intention. But he lost the godly influence of Abram. I hope you will listen to this next point. I hope right here you open up your hearing. Here is a reason the devil wants to make you think that you don't need the church or a pastor in your life. I'm telling you, we need a godly influence in our life. It's absolutely necessary. We need to have a fellowship of other believers of, and get this now, of like precious faith. I'm not just talking about any religion. I'm not talking about any church. I'm talking about Jesus' name, apostolic, one God, holiness living church. You know, if somebody tells me that, you know, well, I'm going to be moving, or I'm going to, well, you know what, you could live on the moon. If you will live for God, I'm happy for you. But wherever you go, whatever you do, wherever this life brings you, make sure that you have a godly influence in your life. Not just any influence. I'm talking about a one God, Jesus name, apostolic, Acts 2:38 preaching church. It's so very important to have that in our life. And I'm not saying this is the only church. There's lots of good churches. But if you ever leave this church, make sure you get yourself in a godly, under a godly influence. It's so very important. Little things become big things. The very honest truth is we need, someone say need. We need godly fellowship and influence in our lives. Amen. Preachers need preaching. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse number 9. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. I think it's foolish to think that I could live for God out and all by myself. God didn't intend you to be an island. We need to be in the body of Christ, the church. If all you do is fellowship with carnal thinking, worldly people, guess what? It won't be very long that you will be thinking worldly and carnally, just like they do. God gave us scriptures so that we could live close to Him. Amen. The Word of God is a life-saving message. It's my instruction book. It's where I get my direction from. Amen. If you are not in church and having godly influence, look out. Almost certainly, there will be a fall. Your mind will change into thinking that you didn't think would happen. Oh, don't worry about me, Pastor. I'm always going to love Jesus. But if you're missing godly fellowship and the preaching that needs to mold your soul, I am worried about you. Because if you're not getting fed spiritual things, then what are you being fed? If you're hanging out with the world, if you're living carnally, then you're eating worldly, carnal things. Peter wrote something very insightful concerning Lot. New Testament, of course, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 6 and 7 and verse number 8. Says, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. Look out, there's a warning there for you. There's the destruction in the end of the life of the ungodly. Read the back of the book, it tells about it. It really does. Verse number 7, and delivered just Lot. Get this, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. It bothered him. He didn't like hearing all that ungodly stuff. But it did affect him. His righteous soul from day to day with their ungodly deeds. Tell you what, the world will wear you down. If you're having a steady diet of worldly, carnal things, it will be what enters your soul. It will be what your thinking will turn into. There is no question about that at all. You eat a worldly diet, you will become worldly. You feed yourself a spiritual diet, and God will help you to become spiritual. God will help in you to strengthen the spiritual man. Lot was a righteous man, particularly when you consider the other residents of Sodom, the city where he was. Perhaps, very well, probably was the best man in the whole city. But you can't live in a cesspool without getting some of that junk on you. Because he just kept inching towards Sodom without any godly influences. A little bit of the world got into his character, defiling his thinking. He had grown accustomed to the filthy sins and perversions that were around him. This is almost unthinkable to me, what happens next. That when the homosexual sodomites were trying to take his angelic guests, when they were trying to take them by force, Lot offered up his two virgin daughters. Unbelievable. That would be so far that thought would have never crossed my mind. I would give my life protecting my children. You would never touch my children without going through dad. It was just it would be automatic that I would defend them. How could that ever happen? I'm telling you, Satan, the world, carnality will make you think things that you right now don't even think are possible. Corrupt your mind to the point where perversion and sin become normal. Our world is getting to that point. There's some people that still think sin is bad. I'm one of them. I hope you are too. Perversion and sin is not acceptable with God. It's not. It's not okay. I cannot escape to the mountain lest some evil take me and I die, was his complaint. Behold now, this city is near to flee into, and it's a little city. That argument makes no sense in my mind. But yet, that was the argument. His plea was, let me go to Zoar. It's just a little town. The reality, there could not have possibly been any more danger in the mountain, especially if God sent you there. God's going to protect you. God's going to show you the way. God's going to help you. God's going to protect you. God's going to lead you in the paths of righteousness. God is going to make the way out of no way. If you would just follow what God wants you to do. And yet, he ended up in the wicked place called Sodom. He chose the convenience of flesh over the need of his soul. Let me go to Zoar. It's just a little town. God allowed it to happen. but he destroyed the whole rest of that plain. Sodom and Gomorrah and the plain there was burned up with fire and brimstone. The problem with Lot was that he never understood how important the little thing was. He always wanted just a little more. He left the covering of his uncle. And when he left that godly counsel and godly example, when he left, it put his wife in danger. It put his kids in danger. It put his household in danger. The result was perversion and destruction. The seed of his daughters became the bitter enemies of Israel. They're still fighting today. In Matthew chapter 23, verse 23, Jesus said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, little tiny things, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone." The little things in our life are so very important. Jesus never condemned the Pharisees over their piety, only over their attitudes. Maybe you're thinking, "Pastor, but you don't think that everything we teach concerning lifestyle is a matter of heaven or hell?" Not all of it. But all these little things matter. Let me say this. It's the direction that you're headed. Is your direction leading you to get closer to God? I hope it is. Hope your prayer life is improving. If you've been praying 2 minutes, I hope you'll get to three. If you've read two verses of Scripture, man, I hope tomorrow you will read four. But I hope your walk with God is drawing you closer to Him. That your experiences and your understanding and your knowledge and your commitment and your love for Jesus Christ is growing. Beware. Beware. It's the point of this whole message. Beware the little things. When the little things begin to bring you away from that walk with God. When the little things accumulate to become big things. The spirit of Sodom permeates our entertainment world, the music world of today. Perversion is pervasive in our society. It wouldn't hurt us. It wouldn't hurt some of us to change the way that we approach life. Instead of trying to see how close to the world you can get without being burned, why don't we try to see how close we can get to God? Amen. If our focus was how much can I know about God? Or how close can I get to pleasing Him in everything that I do? You know, I've got a wood stove at home. It wouldn't take you very long when that thing's hot. If you touched it once, you'd know not to do that again because it would burn you. If you touch some things in our world, it could hurt you right away. And I hope you learn not to do that again. Amen. Teach your children that they can't be worldly and holy at the same time. Too many have left the ways of righteousness for the same reason Lot did. Lot's herdsmen had conflicts with Abraham's herdsmen. They argued out there in the field. Sometimes people backslide and stop coming to church because of what someone else did. My friend, that is so backwards. Don't lose out with God. Don't let your life be lost because of what someone else did. It's up to us to live for God. And if somebody else does something wrong, keep living for God. Don't let anything or anyone or anybody keep you from your walk with God. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse number 10. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. Next thing you know, poverty is going to overtake you. Little foxes will spoil the vine. They will wreak havoc in the vineyard. Get this now. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. My mom used to make, we had a big family growing up, and my mom used to make bread one day a week. And she had this big pot of dough, and she'd take these little packets of powder and sprinkle it on. What's that, Mom? It's just yeast. What's that do? It's going to make the bread rise. A little pack of yeast makes the whole lump rise. You know what? That little thing that the world thinks, it don't even matter. Oh, it's okay. It can wreak havoc in your life if you don't pay attention to the little things. Little foxes, broken windows. It'll end up in a demolished building. My wife and I rode down Groton today, and there's a building on the left-hand side as you're coming into town, and the roof was tore up. I said, man, it's pouring out, raining. That's the end of that building. The bulldozer will be coming pretty soon for that thing. You know, everything is going to be ruined. I'll tell you what, little things really do matter. The reason so many are struggling today with really big things, I'm talking about, you know, kids that are running uncontrolled, or divorces and marriages, and Christian homes, or formerly Christian homes. And I'll tell you what, if you eat the carnality, if you live worldly, you will have carnal and worldly outcomes. And that's what the world does. Pay attention to the little things. There is hardly anyone that backslides that catches a pastor totally off guard. The pastor will notice, you know, and I'm not the sheriff. My job is to preach. When I see things going on, my job is to say it from the pulpit, from the Word of God to the people. And then it's your job to hear the Word and let God change your life. Amen. Hardly anyone catches a pastor totally off guard. You can look back at their life and you can see how little things accumulated in their life. Little things that they weren't careful about. Little things that built up within their walk with God that drew them away from the power of God. Stand with me. I'm closing right here. You know, one day that person who didn't pay attention to the little things are going to wake up and they are struggling with their very faith in God. Then they realize that, just like Lot realized, this whole thing is a mess. There's only one thing. There's only one thing to do. We have to start inspecting our life and repair little things. Amen. In closing today, I'd like you to, between you and God, Lord, what little thing would you like me to address first? Would you pray? Would you ask God to help you with some little thing? Lord, I love you. I thank you. We ask even right now, in the precious name of Jesus, Lord, there's so many things in our life, in our world. I'm asking, Lord, right now, that you would put before me, Lord, and help me, Lord, to overcome this little thing, Lord, that you'll help me with. If you'll help me, Lord, with this little thing, God, if I can get past this little thing, Lord, if I can, Lord, have your help in this little thing, Lord, it'll help me to live for you. It'll help me, Lord, to live my life for you. Thank you, Lord, for it. Lord, we ask right now, in the precious name of Jesus, Lord, that you would help me, Lord, in even these things. In Jesus' name. Lord, I love you. I thank you. I praise you. Have your way in your people, Lord. Have your way in my life. Have your way in our church, Lord. I pray you'd bless and help our families, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Help us, God, to pay attention to the little things in our life. In Jesus' precious name. Thank you, Lord, for it. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.